One of the things that you've done is put a lot of work into separating out some of our best shows. And so when we replay a show, it's really an important piece of information. You know, even if you listen to that show last week, you know, we've been talking about how we build brain cells and that the perceptual mind can only replicate what its content is. And until the brain cells are built, you know, you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and he says his work is for those who, quote unquote, have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. In other words, well, first of all, I think we can fairly safely assume that most everybody in his audience had what we call eyes and ears. Yes, there were some blind and some were deaf, but primarily most everybody had that. So he wasn't obviously talking about physical eyes and ears. What he was saying is that when he or anyone else uses a word, the listener has to have precisely the same brain cells resonated by that word in order to understand the meaning of that word. You know, I've shared before a line in the song. I'd actually like to meet this gentleman at some point to be able to come up with this line, this level of understanding. If you've ever seen the movie The Accountant, at the end of it, there's a piece of music, and one of the lines in the song was just blockbuster for me when I heard it. And that is that what he says is, you can't read a book that you haven't written. So if you know, I read my book and their words and their paragraphs, and only my mind can structure a perceptual construct for everything that I mean by what I'm writing there. Your mind can only structure a perceptual construct for what brain cells you have for that word or that combination of words. If you don't have the eyes to see or the ears to hear, the brain cells that I have, then you can't hear my words. When you go back and listen to the archives, or when Jeannie picks out one of those treasured shows that she replays, listen carefully, because there's some of the most important building of brain cells, and that's where people will tap in and, you know, have that aha moment. Gee, you know, I heard that show last week, and I just heard it again today, and like there was a whole new set of meanings. Why would there be a whole new set of meanings? Because you had built new brain cells through which to perceive what was being said. And so I can read my book. You can't read. I mean, you can pick my book up and you can read it, but everything that you're going to quote unquote see, that your brain's going to produce as you read my book, is going to be the content of your brain cells. Where you and I match, and one of the reasons why we dedicated ourselves to doing this show every day, is so that the conversation goes on and as many people as possible can build the brain cells, so that each time you have a new set of brain cells to hear a particular idea in, your mind will generate a whole new construct. And of course, remembering that the forgiveness process is about collapsing the constructs of the mind that don't match actuality. Ultimately, we need to come from the same mind as the Creator comes from to understand the meaning of anything in the world as it actually is. The actuality of it, not the realities our minds come up with. Remember, I was at a conference about 35 years ago. I used to keynote at a conference called Global Sciences. And so a gentleman, many of you may have heard of him or may have known him. His name was Bob Beck. Bob was a scientist, inventor, genius, genius mind, and just a really sweet guy. And I'd been doing this work for about 20 years at the point where I met Bob. I was at the conference and he's up presenting. I'd done my presentation. He's up presenting. And he introduced me to what was a totally new concept, but has become one of the root concepts of this work. And he didn't have same brain cells for it as I did, but he presented it and it was just like, bingo, oh, that's it. That's the language we need. And he spoke about reality and actuality. Actually, that was how I met Bob. After his presentation, I hadn't met him prior to that, even though he'd been at a couple of conferences I'd been at. But after that presentation, I went up and shook his hand and thanked him. And he looked at me and said, and what are you thanking me for? And I reached in my pocket and I took out a $50 bill and handed it to him. And Bob was like, well, what's this? He said, you just gave me one of the keys to the body of work that I've been developing for years. And I appreciate it. So thank you. Here. And he was like, I mean, he was almost in tears. He's like, nobody's ever thanked me like this before. Nobody's ever done that. Anyway, Bob's passed now, but he was a pretty amazing, just a genius of a man. We became very good friends. Spent time with him in Hawaii way back then. We did a couple of trips together, you know, journeying around the country and such. Anyway, so reality is the structured output of the human mind. In the Course in Miracles, it's called perception. And you remember the course and the lesson, the very important lesson, and the whole two-hour lesson is available now on our YouTube channel. It used to just be the 30-minute abbreviated lesson, but when we did the Hear My Voice book club, we decided to pull that one out of the paid file and put it into that workshop. So now it's available. What is the world? And in the opening lines of that lesson, of course, it's just beautifully written on this, says, the world is false perception. When we're talking about forgiving, when we're talking about the world where forgiveness is needed, we are talking about one world and one world only, and that's the reality output from your mind. Most people live in that world, that structure in their minds, and they never go outside of it. The Course in that particular lesson says, perception is a skill made up by you to take the place of what the Creator gave you in creation. In other words, to take the place of actuality. If we're ever going to experience actuality, we're going to have to collapse the false realities that we hold in our minds that we substitute for actuality. So the Course talks about, the ancient scriptures talk about, and there's nothing religious about this. Unfortunately, this word's come to be a religious-oriented word, but it's not. It's got nothing to do with religion. Paul talked about the mind of Christ in you. Now, when we talk about the mind of Christ, we're not talking about a religious man. We're not talking about a man that lived 2,000 years ago. We're talking about literally the mind of love, which we would, in the religious vernacular, say the mind of God. That mind is in you. You have the right to think with that mind. But if you're thinking with your carbon-based memory mind, with perception, the constructs of your mind, then you substitute what the Creator's mind has in view for us with your own generational and cultural patterns of, sadly, in many, many cases, of hostility and fear. So the objective of forgiveness is to collapse perception, to recognize what it is that causes us to perceive in a certain way, and to collapse those perceptions so there's a space for us to start to come to a direct experience through the mind of love in us of what the actuality contains. And there will never be anything based in hostility or fear injected into the actuality or injected into our minds by the actuality. All of that hostility and fear stuff is cultural, it's genetic. It's been going on for 1,000 generations in our bloodline, and it's time to get rid of it. So our invitation is, if your mind serves up anything based in hostility or fear, recognize that's your carbon-based memory, and your mind is using corrupt data. And when you begin to apply forgiveness, forgiveness will remove the corrupt data from your mind, from your carbon-based memory, from your multi-generational database, and you'll be freed of it. Then you'll be able to come to the actuality with the mind that Christ came to it with. Again, not a man named Yeshua, The word Christ in Aramaic is the name of an office. It is not the same name of a person. So Yeshua became known as the Christ. In Aramaic, that word more literally would actually be the buttered one or the oiled one. They would anoint with oil someone who had awakened to the mind of love, to the mind of Christ in them. So Paul talked about, you know, the mind of Christ in you, not meaning the mind of Yeshua, but the mind of love that is your connection to the Creator, to the actuality of the world. And my take, and this new James Hubble telescope, I was watching some stuff on it again yesterday, and it's just amazing. I would offer that, you know, I mean, what they're telling us is the Big Bang theory is dead. They're going to have to redo the whole theory. They're going to have to, you know, all kinds of stuff is going to be thrown up because carbon-based memory has been feeding us lies for a long, long time, even in the scientific world. But what this James Webb telescope is showing us is that, like, billions and billions and billions of years beyond what anybody ever thought, and the spaces involved, the size of the universe, like, it, I don't know what the number is, it just went up by 50 times in most scientists' minds with what this James Hubble telescope is showing us. And there's a Michio Kaku, who's a physicist, probably one of the best known physicists in the world. The video I watched yesterday said, why have they been lying to us? And he didn't explain it. I would like to know why, you know, as a physicist. I mean, this guy is top drawer physicist. And the title of his talk wasn't, why were they mistaken, or they were mistaken. He said, they've been lying to us. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. I don't have a phone number for him. I'd love to ask. Why do you call it a lie? Why isn't it just, well, Hubble is, or, you know, the Hubble was something, but this thing is like 50 times more powerful than Hubble. And so we're seeing 50 times further into the universe and so much more. And I would have thought, you know, a current physicist, when those new discoveries were made, wow, we were in error. But he didn't say we were in error. I said, why do they lie to us? In any event, my offering is that if we're living out of that mind, we have the capability of comprehending that whole thing, comprehending, making sense of the whole creation. We have access to that mind that, you know, the religionists would have called the mind of God. But it's not religious to live in that mind. It's where, like, living in that mind is the highest mind you can possibly live in, and that mind is based in love because that's the one that can comprehend all of it. It isn't limited to this little hostility and fear-based self that gets insulted at every turn and somebody just turns their head the wrong way or breathes the wrong way or says the wrong thing and people go berserk and blame. Oh, look what you've done to me. So getting free of carbon-based memory and entering into that mind is a process. And carbon-based memory, what was called the mind of man, has to have the building blocks so we can walk across the bridge to the mind of Christ. Again, not a religious idea. If you talk to a modern-day physicist, they'll tell you that your body, if you took it into the lab and said, here, take my body and take it all apart and tell me what the base elements are. The most basic element of your so-called body is carbon. And if you look at a natural carbon atom, there are 6 electrons, 6 protons, 6 neutrons. That's where memory is stored. That's where brain cell information is stored, in carbon-based memory. If carbon-based memory, your multi-generational database, serves up to you a construct, perception, based in errant content, corrupt data, hostility, or fear stored within your carbon-based memory, then you are stuck in the mind of 666. What was that? The Antichrist. So there's the mind of love in you, the fact where you live. And I don't care whether, you know, you're working in a factory or you're working as a physicist or you're a homeowner or you're working in the garden. The fact is you're designed to be connected to the mind of love and function out of that, and that's the one that's going to bring you to the highest levels of experience of life that you can possibly come to. And if the only thing you know is what is in your brain cells and your karma-based memory, then you're limited to the past generations. You're stuck with whatever constructs were dominant in the generational patterns. That was what was meant by that scriptural quote where you hear the Creator speaking to humans. And the Creator says, the sins of the fathers. And again, let's get rid of the religious context. The word context. The word sin is an archery term. When you fired at the bullseye and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper yelled sin. That's all it means. Off the mark. You missed the target. That's all the word sin means. So each time we miss the target, if I am my son's father, everything that was off the mark in me the day he was conceived was received in his carbon-based memory system. And if he doesn't resolve it, it was received by his daughter when she was conceived. And so we have generations and generations and generations. That's why to get out of the desert in that story about being lost in the desert for 40 years, what had to happen? The old generation had to die. You had to get out of what was in carbon-based memory. So to forgive everything that generates any kind of perceptual construct based in hostility or fear allows that to be collapsed, and it leaves a clean and open space within your mind for the actuality to write meanings on you, for the mind of love to write meanings on you rather than the mind of the generations. So it becomes very real and very practical. It doesn't have anything to do with Sunday morning. Sadly, most of churchianity is working out of the same kinds of errors that the physicist, as this one physicist said, with the new understanding, is carbon-based memory made up a story. You know, they have this thing that they take this work of this man, Yeshua, and my offering is, he doesn't give us an ultimate. He says, here are the tools for you to have the direct experience of the ultimate. But man came along and said, my carbon-based memory says this is the ultimate, so I'm going to make up my own little sect here. You know, supposedly following that man that earned that title, Christ, they call it Christian, and right now, there are some 32,000 sects of Christianity. Why? Well, there was one man who brought forward, here's how you do it. And people came along and had a certain level of experience, and they went, oh, well, here's what it is. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. And now we have 32,000 sects of people saying, here's what it is. I don't know what it is, except to say love is at the root of it. And what I've spent the last 45 years doing is decoding the language from the Aramaic as to how to come to the direct experience of that. Not to try to explain for anybody, you know, the craziness to say I can explain for you what the actuality is. But I know how you can get to your own direct experience of it, a personal experience, personally experienced. Not standing around looking at somebody else's personal experience and worshiping that, which sadly is what most of churchianity has done, and that means it's been stunted in whatever the limited perceptions were of whoever initiated that sect. So how big is the construct? Well, Hubble's giving us some ideas, and we were given a mind that can comprehend that. That would be my offering. And the way we achieve contact with that mind is by shutting the other one up, carbon-based memory. And you do that through forgiveness. And when carbon-based memory stops reacting to every situation, and you just look at that word react, how did you do it? Redo an act that was done on a previous occasion. When that's no longer there to take over your perceptual mind, then there's a clean space in you for the mind of love, the mind of God, the mind of Christ to write in you. And since there's nothing left in the Antichrist 666 carbon-based memory to go against it, there's a space for experiencing directly for yourself. Now, most people would rather go, oh yeah, well, I'd rather be comfortable. You know, just give me, you know, lots of sugar and beer and alcohol, and you know, I don't want to do my work. I don't want to look at that. I just want everything to be the way I want it to be. There's the problem. And of course, the Miracles talks about you must be aware of the distorting power of the way you want it to be, because your goals drive that perceptual mind. And if you load a goal in your mind that resonates any form of hostility or fear, then your mind will project its hostility or fear into its brain's image, its perception, its constructs about whatever it's looking at. And, you know, out of that, the one world religion of blame is formed. And most people by the age of 4 are members of the one world religion of blame. We're here to help you escape from that brainwash and have your own direct personal experience of the active presence of love in you, the mind of love in you, being your fuel, being your source. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to be part of. Well, let's talk a little bit about the power person dynamic then. And when we recognize that this power person, who is a person in our lives that had more power over our lives at some point than we did, that person was not functioning as love, and we're not functioning out of or behaving in just and fair ways, and we perceive that they had that we were in a survival situation. Those three things occur in someone's mind, and all of a sudden we're locked into or take on this power person dynamic. And when those three conditions occur, and it's usually between a parent and a child, although not always, then for the rest of that person's life, until they come to understand and work through power person dynamic that was installed in them at that moment with that power person, the behaviors related to it will run one's life. So what happens once that power person dynamic is installed in the mind is whenever we experience elevated levels of stress, we've been tricked into believing that these realities, the perceptual constructs of our mind, are true. And under the influence of the power person dynamic, in fact, they're just reflections and projections of dissociated content from carbon-based memory. That storage system, generational patterns in the mind, or that end up showing up as content reflected in the mind when they're resonated into activity. So carbon-based memory replicates the power person dynamic over and over and over and over again until it's forgiven. And my offering is that's what runs the world. That's what virtually everyone in the world is behaving out of whenever they're under stress. Now, when there's no stress, they're still behaving in relationship to it, but it will tend to be whatever they did to get along with the power person. When stress starts to build, what happens is one moves from that place of doing what they did to get along with their power person to doing the automatic decision kicks in the mind, and they'll kick into doing whatever it is they did to resist and survive with their power person. And then when they become ultra stressed, they'll do what their power person did to them that they hated the most. That's what drives all violence on the planet. That's what drives divorce. That's what drives separation. That's what produces war, attack, violence in all forms, verbal, mental, emotional, physical, sexual violence are all based in power person dynamics. And in order to get free of that, what one needs to own and understand is that when either fear or hostility are active, I mean, you've got to learn to call your own mind a liar. When hostility or fear are active, your mind's using corrupt data based in that unresolved, unconscious power person dynamic to construct your picture of the world. That's the basic bottom line of what virtually everybody in the world is being controlled by. Painted on the inside of our eyeballs is a self-generated, why is this happening to me again experience. And when you recognize yourself as a creator, then you recognize that life will relentlessly cooperate with your unconscious creations. And if there are unresolved power person dynamics, when those power person dynamics are resonated into activity, life's going to come along and play with it, going to play it out with you. And when someone shows up that plays it out, and my brain, my mind, paints a picture on the inside of my eyeballs, it's based in some form of hostility or fear, I'll think I'm looking at the world out there, but I'm looking at a world that's internal to my mind and built on my own hidden pain-based dissociated content. Pain, perceptions, resistance of all kinds, struggle, fight, all pain content comes from, or pardon me, pain perceptions come from pain content. And what happens is when I live in denial, and remember our definition of denial, is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something that's inside of me, then I have to dissociate from the content of my own mind. The real truth of what's beneath my pained experience, I have to hide from myself because I've said and that you're doing it to me. So the thought, just the thought or the words, you made me, means that I'm now in denial. And so in order to reinforce the lie my mind is telling me, I'll take the pained content inside my own mind, and remember the mind has the ability to take data and make it into pictures. So when that data that's related to pain is denied, the root of it's hidden, and the mind then takes that content to make the pictures that it paints on the inside of my eyeballs that I think are pictures about you. So that's called projection. My mind projects its own pain-producing content into my brain's image of them. And if I believe the lie, I can't access the hidden corrupt data that needs to be removed. I can't forgive in that state. I need to learn to forgive that content in order to be free of it. And I've got to learn to discern and remove what's at the root of these internally generated pictures that appear to be true in order for me to be liberated from my why is this happening to me again, in order to be liberated from the past. Remember, Yeshua spoke to one man who, so I've got to go take care of my father. You know, I'm going to come follow you someday, but right now, and what Yeshua said is, let the dead bury the dead, lead the blind, pardon me. If you want to be liberated from the past, in the instant where your mind is serving up pained perceptions You've got to realize that every pained perception is a projection. I mean, short of somebody punching you in the nose. So if I want to be liberated from the past, I have to start to question those internally generated pictures that appear to be true. And as I develop the skill of owning, decoding, and forgiving my unconscious content, that's the moment when I make the space for actuality to show up. So one of the choices that needs to be made in order to be finished with the past projections is to willingly choose through forgiveness to relinquish the habit of displacing actuality with my power person dynamic of dissociated pain-based realities and pain-based constructs. That's the, in a simple statement, that's the work that ultimately needs to be done. Now, what do I need to do to carry out that work? Well, recognize that when I set a goal, a stress is created. A stress is established in my mind the moment I set a goal. The level of stress that I experience is determined by the distance, so to speak, the differential between the way I see it and the way I want it to be. The bigger that difference is, you know, to use an example, let's say yesterday I loaned you a quarter and today I see you and I say, I want my quarter back. And you say, no, you're never getting your quarter back. And I go, okay, so you're not going to give me my quarter. So what? But what if yesterday I loaned you $1 million and you promised to give it back to me today? And I said, I need my $1 million. There's a big differential in the way I see it and the way I want it to be, and there's going to be a whole lot more stress in me going after the $1 million than there was in me going after the quarter. So when I set a goal and someone violates, myself or someone else violates that goal, the distance, so to speak, that we're referring to here expands, and that expansion is the elevation of my stress. If that increased stress resonates or calls into play hidden, painful, and mostly emotionally dissociated parts of my own carbon-based memory, that's when I'll project that content into my brain's image of you. I'll paint a picture of you on the inside of my eyeballs with a reality, my own dissociated content. That's called projection. That's called codependence. Codependent relationship is a relationship where I think you're the cause of what's going on inside of me. Exactly the same, actually, is our definition of denial. Whenever I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's moving inside of me, I have to dissociate from what's moving inside of me. In other words, I'm not able to look at the truth of the situation. So if I'm in a situation that calls into painful, emotionally dissociated parts of my mind, that's when I project that content into my brain's image of you. And you'll show up in my mind, in my perception, with my problem attached, and I'll believe that it's your problem, that it's caused by you. If I'm unconscious of the transparent process of projection, I'll see the outpicturing of my mind's hidden content, my perception, as a fact. And I'll believe it's a fact because I can see it in my mind's image of them. I'll really believe that they're the problem. But, of course, I have to start sooner or later to go, I'm the one that's feeling this. Maybe this is detailing a hidden part of my own mind. Now, the hidden and projected part of my own mind may be true about them as well, but I can't really tell, but I do know for sure that the fact that I'm feeling it, it's true about me. And the presence of my fear and or hostility testifies the truth that my mind is using my corrupt data to build the world of my perception. And this unconscious process simultaneously tricks me into believing my mind's lies, blocks me from experiencing the truth about myself as love, and gates out the experience of actuality. Repeating the pattern of blame at the root of that pain voids my opportunity for complete healing in regard to this issue. So I need to identify precisely the person triggering me and the goal driving this process, and there's my next forgiveness process. There's the key.